So today we are going to be looking at Psalm 148. It's the last sermon in our sort of quick trip through the book of Psalms. And we started with a quick overview of the Psalms and kind of a what do the Psalms add to our knowledge of God and what we can do. And then we've looked at some of the other kind of roller coaster of emotions that you find as you're going through the book of Psalms, with last week being about lament psalms, and then this week we're ending in a pretty apt place because we're looking at a psalm of praise, which is also how the book of Psalms ends. The last five psalms that you encounter after all of the turmoil and anger and joy and sadness and that you see being talked about here, the book ends with how many of the psalms end with a quick praise to God. These are five psalms that kind of go all in, it basically covering every sort of dynamic of life. And this one that we're looking at in particular today is about creation praising the psalm, praising God, and how we have a role in that creation as well. And so we will read Psalm 148. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, the highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all the peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is high above heaven and earth. He has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful. For the people of Israel who are close to him, praise the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word and for what it reveals to us about you. Thank you, God, for your creation. And thank you, God, for the ability to explore it and to learn about you from it. I pray, God, that the words that I say over the next few minutes would be pleasing to you, and that we would all find ourselves encouraged by looking at this, that the Psalms of Praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have a special place somewhere in the world where you feel closest to God? A place that's so beautiful or peaceful or comforting that you feel like heaven and earth have sort of joined together, the distance that sometimes seems to be there has slipped away, and it's right there that you feel closest to God. I hear from a lot of people that when they feel closest to God is when they're out exploring nature and the beauty of the created world. So there's a lot of different types of nature, of the creation to explore, and different people seem to connect to different things. Maybe you're the type of person who feels at peace when you sit next to a lake where you can watch the stillness and listen to the silence that's only occasionally punctuated by the sounds of the creatures that live and are sustained by the ecosystem that exists around that lake. Maybe that's your place, that's your happy place, where you're sitting on the shore or you're in a boat fishing. I have a lot of family members that is the way for them. They're on the lake any chance that they can. Or maybe you're the type of person who feels drawn to the forest, or if you were born in East Texas like I am, the woods. You find any excuse you can to get to the woods, if it's camping or going on a hike, or maybe you're one of those people that you're marking every day on your calendar to the beginning of hunting season every single year, and that should be an official public holiday for you, is the start of hunting season. Or you could be like some of my family members, like my wife, for instance, who grew up by the ocean. She was born and lived on the coast of Maine, and her happy place is the ocean. We've talked about it before, where you feel closest to God as you're watching the crashing waves. You become aware of His power and sort of the vastness of what it is that He has made. Or you could be maybe a little more like me, and your the place where you connect out in nature is the mountains, which, you know, being born in East Texas, that's sort of a tough thing, but I've been blessed to live a lot of places around the mountains, and so when I'm able to sort of see these vast stone towers in the distance that weren't built by us, they're not like the skyscrapers downtown, but they were, you know, put together by God. And they're majestic, and you sort of realize his awesome power. That particular mountain is Mount Hood. I was able to live in Oregon for 6 years before I moved back to Texas, and that was if the weather cooperated, which wasn't a lot of the time, but if it was clear, you could see Mount Hood from a lot of places in Portland. Or if you were flying in, you could see it poking out of the clouds from the airplane. It really is just the majesty of nature, and what has been created is something that sort of calls us to it, and as people we seem to be drawn to it. I know some that find that connection with being around animals and helping animals and enjoying their company, and by that aspect of creation they feel connected to God. You know, the world that we live in is truly a stunning place. I was fortunate as a kid to get to spend a lot of my childhood in Cape Town, South Africa, and that's another example of nature, this city that is built around Table Mountain, Flat Mountain, where you can also visit the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean in one city, because that's where they meet at the very tip, the tip of Africa. And when I look at places like Cape Town, it's almost like God is showing off. It's like, hey guys, look what I can do. I made this. I spoke it into existence. And that really is, in a way, what nature is. God's power is shown off when we look at what He has made. It isn't surprising that so many people feel closest to God when they're exploring nature, because God's creation is magnificent and His glory is shown through what He has made. Our psalm today, Psalm 148, is a call for the universe and all that is in it to give praise to God. This includes the entirety of creation, starting way out in the spiritual realm with the heavens and the angels being called to sing their praises to God, and then it comes a little closer to us here on earth as the call is given out to the heavenly bodies of our solar system, the sun, the moon, the stars, the things that we can see as we look up into the night sky. Those are also called to give a testimony of praise to God. The call then moves down to the earth where we are, all the creatures and the lands, the animals in the ocean, the tall mountains, the deep valleys. Each of these are called to give praise to God. And then the command is given to the last of the created beings, humanity. Everyone from the rulers of the earth, those who know those that know of the power that humans can gather to themselves, all the way to the youngest of children who are still figuring out how to care for themselves in this earth, all are called to give praise to God. And the order that this psalmist is following, from the heavens to space, down to the earth, to the smallest of creatures, it's intentional. Because this psalm is following the creation account that you see in Genesis 1, which follows the exact same path. And this psalm is meant to remind us of that story. And so I was thinking about, why would the psalmist focus on the created world, these what we kind of think of as inanimate objects or animals, to build a hymn of praise to God? Why would that be his first choice? And really, it's because creation itself is a witness to the glory of God. It's a powerful call to worship him, the creator, when you look at what was created. In Romans 1:20, Paul says this about God and what he has made. Ever since the creation of the world, his eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things that he has made. So they are without excuse. What Paul is saying here is that creation itself testifies to the existence of God. And it testifies to the power of God because, as the psalm says, he commanded and they were created. And this psalm is saying, by looking at what was made, the majesty of the earth, God's existence is proclaimed by that creation, because you look and you see that there's no way that any of this had to be someone involved with making a world this majestic, this full of beauty. And that this God, whoever it was that made it, this revelation that we receive from nature shows that whoever made this must be loving, powerful, and very creative. So what we see in creation is this general revelation of God, an announcement that the divine does exist, and maybe a call for us to connect to that and to learn more about whoever it was that made this this majestic world. And then, as the psalmist calls us to give praise to that creator as well. We as humans connect with creation because we're created beings ourselves. We're a part of the order that God put into place, and we're called to join our voices with the rest of creation to give praises to God. We've been doing that this morning already with the songs that we've sang, with prayers, with the instruments that have been played, people using their gifts, their talents, and what God has given them to offer praise to God. But there are other ways that we can give praise to God that maybe are not what we see happening always in the church necessarily, but there's other ways that we can praise God as beings that he created. And one of those relates to the creation order and our place within that order. We feel this connection to creation, and it's a really good thing that we do, because if you look at the Genesis story that this psalm is reminding us of, we were made, and then humans were given the task to not only enjoy the world that God has created, but then also to care for it as well. We see that when we were made, he created us and then gave us the responsibility to care for the creation. This world that God designed, it has the capacity to provide everything that we could ever possibly need to live, as long as we take care of it. But what can happen sometimes is if we lose sight of that, and the land is abused, when land is over-farmed, or when the world isn't tended, then things kind of get out of order when it's mismanaged. Abuse of the land leads to disorder, it leads to hunger, when the land that has been designed is able to provide enough for everyone. And that's why I think it's so important to consider that place that we have in creation and the care that we can have for the world. Is we can view it as a way of giving our praise to God. It's a way of giving thanks to him for the world that he has made, for the good that the world is able to give us. We can show our appreciation and our awe of his power by tending to it and by remembering our place in the creation story as caretakers of the beautiful earth that God has made. And it's easy sometimes for Christians for us to lose sight of that. You can begin to think of the earth as just this temporary, disposable place that we're living in here for a little while on our way to eternity with God. But that's missing that that that's That's a perspective that doesn't come out of Scripture, because the earth is so much more than this disposable thing for us to use, enjoy, and then leave. It's God's handiwork. It's a place that was made to his specifications, and it's really good. We have an opportunity to care for God's masterpiece, or to not neglect it. But one thing is for sure is we don't have the power with all the creative ability that humans have to come close to making anything that comes close to what God has made. And so if as we care for the world, we can leave a place that will continue to provide and continue to be a testimony to God's power until, as is promised, God's kingdom is here on earth as it is in heaven. And as we look about ways that we can praise God through nature, or we can praise God by our place in the creative order that are sort of outside of singing and different things like that, we can live and we can give praise to God as well by living a life of praise, a life that gives honor to him. The psalm gives clear instructions that all things are to praise God. And we see how creation is perpetually praising him by its witness, by its existence, that general revelation that comes from looking at the earth. Creation sings the praises of God and gives a testimony to his goodness. So there's a never-ending proclamation of God's goodness that comes from what he has made. But the thing that's easy to forget sometimes is that we're also a part of God's creation, and we can have that sort of impact as well. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says this about humanity. We are God's handiwork, the creation of his own hands, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared beforehand to be our way of life. See, we were not only created by God with his own hands, but we were given his image as well. But even then, even though we were given the image of God, the creation work that has been done hasn't stopped from the beginning. Because we're able to encounter Jesus, our Savior, and to experience that recreating work as well. As image bearers of God, we are also able to be slowly made into the image of our Savior as well. And that's where that phrase, created in Christ Jesus, comes in. It shows that the miracle that is done in our lives just by knowing God and knowing his Son. And so then if we know where we are and we know who we've been created in the image of, then what were we created to do? And when you look at the psalm and you look at Scripture, it's to give God praise. But what does that mean? What does that mean practically? We've done it this morning. We've praised God with song. We've praised him with prayer. We've worshiped him, and we'll continue to do that as the service goes on, but there's even more to it than that. If we're going to offer praise to God like the rest of creation does, as this thing that never stops, that it's a constant reminder of God's goodness, then we're going to have to take that praise outside of these walls and outside the walls of our home out into the world, out into creation. And that's where this Ephesians passage comes in. See, we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, to live the Christian life, to help our neighbor, and not to call attention to ourselves, but to call attention to God in the way that the sun and the moon and the stars and mountains do, in a way that calls attention to his majesty, to live our lives in a way that makes other people say, wow, what is it about that person? I want to know more about that God, to call people towards God in the way that the creation calls people towards God. So we praise God in every way that we can, with the words that come from our mouths, the actions of our hands, and also the way that we live our lives. And in that way, we can offer up a revelation of God to the world that it may be even more compelling than Table Mountain or a sandy beach or the beauty that we see in nature and are drawn to. I read somewhere that the good works are links that form a chain of love. Just as the moon and stars scream to the universe that God is love, and just as the ocean and sea creatures offer up a message of praise that God is good, we're also a testimony of praise to God. And I pray, Lord, that we can continue to find ways to faithfully live into that, so that just like creation sings God's praises, we'll sing God's praises with our lips, but also with how we live our lives, so that continual testimony of praise is found through all forms of God's creation. May it be so. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the work that you're doing in us. Thank you for your creation. Thank you, Lord, that we know that we didn't just happen, Lord, that we were made, and we were made for a purpose. We were made to praise you. We were made to show your love to others. Help us, God, to find ways to live into that. Help us, Lord, to remember to care for the creation that you've given us, and to do everything that we can to give honor to you with the way that we live our lives each and every day in all parts of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.